Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chains nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. Oh my goodness, it shines like a jewel of depleted uranium contamination. So those of you who are regular listeners to the show, you will know that I'm very disorganized and very unprofessional, and yet managed to, get more done than anybody else in this freaking country, ironically. You know, it's like a lot of people accuse me of being unprofessional, and my response is usually the same. The world's run by professionals currently, isn't it? How's that working out for you? all right, you know, it's... I don't know. We put these levels on people. You know, you're supposed to achieve this level before you progress onto the next one. Blah 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 blah. The whole hierarchical brain structure type thing. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, namely because all the people that I've ever met that are incredibly effective at what they do, whether they be activists, business people, or writers, etc., are usually people who just don't follow rules. Mostly because, well, rules are created by people who don't want you to think, don't want you to advance, don't want you to maintain any kind of growth, power, etc. You know, the kind of backward-looking people. And I had a guest on last week, I think it was on Friday, and his name is Victor H. Fisher, PhD. Had him on from China. And we had this discussion about retrospective and prospective people. Like, everybody knows what a prospector is. You know, you cruise down to the blah, 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 and start panhandling and get the grains and the wheat and the blah, 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 blah. You know, trying to find a little bit of gold out of all the rough. And that's basically what a prospective person does. You know, they like conflict, they like challenges, they like going out there because they actually try to solve problems and make things happen. Retrospective people, on the other hand, are basically like somebody who's driving, and instead of looking out the windshield, they're only looking in the rearview mirror. Okay, anytime you disagree with them or anything, they take it as an insult and start attacking you because they believe that the best defense is a good offense, and that doesn't work or fly with me whatsoever. Namely, because you are essentially going to accomplish very, very little in circles, because you tend to alienate anybody who might help you, and anybody who is a friend who is attempting to advance you somewhat down the track. Hold on a second. Anybody who's a friend of yours or something who's trying to advance you down the track or help you, you interpret them as basically insulting you and being your enemy, and you wind up attacking them. And then they're like, well, what is this all about? What is this all about? Because they're a prospective person that doesn't actually attack people or have any of those crazy emotional problems and what have you, you know? And I thought it was a great conversation I was having with them, because it explained so much about a lot of the people who irritate me or just mean to me or act insanely towards me, you know, that kind of thing. And we had something like that happen to me last week, or I think it might have been the week of 9/11, on 9/11 or something like that. Had a guest who reacted in a similar way to me, and at the time I was wondering, well, why would they do that? How would this happen? And you know, kind of like I take everything personally, basically, for a short period of time, at least until I comprehend what exactly happened. And half the time, if somebody's messing with me, it's not because I've ballsed up per se. It's more the fact that they're not willing to entertain the notion that I do think that I make mistakes or do things unintentionally, and anything that I do that inconveniences them, they assume that it's me specifically attacking them and trying to mess them around and yada yada yada. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. Just paranoid, crazy, antisocial behavior that is simply not my bag. You know, and then I get threatened and sabotaged. And indeed, get one of my guests pulled because of this conversation. And I was just thinking, and Victor even elaborated on this, that when these people get like that, like I said, you know, best defense is a good offense. Instead of explaining, instead of asking questions, instead of, but basically doing anything that a reasonable person would do, like a problem solver would, they simply have no other recourse. They don't know how to be a good person. They don't know how to be understanding. They don't know how to be reasonable. Whether or not they can or can't, I don't know. Okay, point is, if you want to look around you, okay, have a look at the friends that you've got surrounded you in a daily day. Are they prospective people or are they retrospective people? If you have a discussion with them, do they start accusing you and saying, this is what you think and this is what you think and blah, 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 and you're just a this, you're just a that? Or are they saying, well, this is what I think and I'm just a this and I'm just a that, and then they listen to you kind of thing? That's sort of the difference. I love those conversations. Two people explaining to each other who each other is when they have no idea who each other is. It happens all the time, and particularly between leftists and right-wingers. Incidentally, we had this conversation with a socialist. I would have really loved to be around during the 70s, during the red thing. I probably would have been on the side of the brutal right wingers, you know, just slapping down the commies, you know. But anyway, what was her name? I forget what her name was, but there's this old lady at the vitamin C protest that we did on the weekend outside the Auckland City Hospital, and this lady came in and she was kind of like, I don't know. She tried to explain to us that chemotherapy saved her life. Okay, and I said to her, okay, do you know about the placebo effect? And then she accuses me of accusing her of being an idiot. You don't think I know what a placebo effect? Blah, 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 blah. And I was just like, okay, you're definitely a socialist then. Yeah, just angry, no brains, assertive, with nothing backing it up. Okay, it's like a bridge that has no support struts. Okay, as soon as you start going over that bridge in terms of a conversation with these people, it gives way, and you realize that you're just falling into a freaking abyss with these fracks. Okay, and it was like, before the conversation even starts, see, I have conversations, commies have arguments, okay, because they misinterpret everything, okay? They misinterpret tax as a good thing. They misinterpret draconian legislation as a good thing. They misinterpret lying politicians that are leftists as a good thing. They misinterpret poisoning people in order to be good for their health as a good thing. Okay, that's basically the communist mentality. If it's real and it's logical, they don't believe in it. Or at least this is the assertion I've done from this one commie. And it's basically if you define one person, there'll be elements that are similar around the rest of them. But what was interesting is that during this alleged conversation / argument, she tried to find points of agreement with me. Actually the opposite. She tried to make me find points of agreements with her. Like she'd say, oh, you must agree with the Green Party and doing a big one-off levy for Christchurch. And I go, well, no. I mean, I don't live in Christchurch. I shouldn't have to pay to rebuild it. And the government's already bailed out all the insurance companies down there, and they're already implementing Agenda 21 like no tomorrow. They're already built in this giant sandy suburban eastern suburbs type thing, which they were told not to, and it completely destroyed everybody's homes, and there's like 13 schools or something closing down and everything like that. Do I want to contribute money to that? No. No, I don't. But communism and social justice, as it were, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to pay through the nose for stuff that ain't your fault so that other people who ain't your responsibility don't have to provide for themselves or take any personal responsibility or come together as communities. Instead, just sit around and wait for people who have nothing to do with you to come out of the woodwork to help your ass. Isn't that freaking stupid? Come on. And the aggression that these people can't, and the betrayal of any form of common decency, okay? Commies like to claim that they have the moral high ground. And I can't for the life of me understand how anybody who has any slight belief or any slight quantity of research into the field of history could in any way, shape, or form even entertain the idea of being a socialist or a communist or anything like that, okay? It was all started up by the massive bankers, okay, financed and what have you. And basically, you have a look at any communist place that's ever kind of gotten themselves running. What's the central bank? What's the central platform of, oh yeah, private central bank run by the Rothschilds and other assorted scum? Okay, but they have no idea about this, okay? They don't care, right? And the other element is, even if that wasn't the case, even if there was something decent about communism, it's overrided by all the historical facts, okay? China, if you're a socialist and you're into social justice, in what part of communism does exterminating people connote social justice? 60 million, 80 million, goodness knows how many Chinese that Chairman Mao exterminated, you know, took over the country at a barrel of a gun with 1%. It's a dictatorship. So if you're a commie and you love socialism or whatever, basically what you're saying to me is, I love genocide, I love murdering people, I love taxing the poor to give to the rich, and I love being a moron and a sucker. Okay, that's the only thing that really springs to mind. You know, and you can go further into it if you want. Pol Pot exterminated millions of people or whatever. He said, oh, we're going to be socialist now. We're going to force everybody out of the cities and force them onto the land with virtually no technology so they can just live as frickin' rural peasants. Isn't that loving? Isn't that left? Stalin, Lenin, Trotsky, all of these manipulative figures in the communist film are practically deified. Like, oh, he had great ideas. You know, he killed millions of people. Yeah, but he had great ideas though. Hitler had freaking great ideas. If that's the case, why are you communist? Why don't you be fascist? Because it seems actually more like what you're looking at here is national socialism rather than just plain straight up communism. Because they're the same freaking thing. Okay. Why don't you wear a swastika that has on your arm with a hammer and sickle on it? Okay, a swastika, like a swizzle stick of some description, just to identify how much of a moronic, fascist, goose stepping piece of trash you are. Okay, is that? The kind of thing that these people would have to do in order so that people would be able to recognize them for what they are, incredibly dangerous people who are more than willing to sacrifice everybody else and everybody else's life, everybody else's property in order to fulfill their idea of the perfect society. That's what it is. It's everybody else's responsibility to make my life frickin' perfect, to make my life frickin' easy. It's an abdication of personal responsibility at its base core. It's taking away people's responsibilities from all the way throughout society, down the chain. You don't have to look after your health. You don't have to look after your job security. You don't have to look after your house. You don't have to get new clothes or anything like that. You don't have to pay your power bill, blah, 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 blah. Government takes care of all of that. Now, on the one hand, that could be okay. It could be okay. You know, it'd be nice if I didn't have to work, if I could just sit around on the fat of the land and do my own business and stuff like that. And if I should ever basically fall into a deep depth of despair and scumbaggery, there'd be some kind of catch net there. But the thing is, I have a catch net. It's called having friends. It's called having a social network. It's called volunteering. It's called actually giving a frack. It's called doing things that you're not told to do because you are compelled to do them because they are the right thing to do. Not compelling other people to do things by which you think it is the right thing to do. You need to actually be doing that yourself. You need to be putting yourself on the line if you want to have any kind of decent, just society. and a socialist does not think like that. I'm not the one who's supposed to be going out there and challenging scumbaggery and ambushing politicians and blah, 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 blah. What I instead want to do is force other people to do that stuff that I could do myself, but I'm too freaking lazy to because I'm too much of a freaking communist sitting home hoping that a government check comes my way so that I don't have to work again, so that everybody can have to do exactly what I say, even though I've got no experience, no responsibility, and I don't really have any morals, any ethics, any logic, or knowledge of history, or anything. And anybody who actually tells me anything different is a Nazi, is a crazy right-winger, an evil person that is absolutely going to destroy me and take out the country. Well, in actual fact, it's what you are, frack face. Shut the frack up. Get the frack out of here. Look, if you are capable of putting a label on yourself, I'm a socialist, I'm a capitalist, I'm a Christian, you're a mind-controlled slave. Okay? I fit into no box. No box. That's why I won't go to jail. Hopefully. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Please don't desert me.
The world we knew is gone. The conditions which framed it told us our status have gone. The conditions which framed it and told us our status have gone. The world we knew is gone.
Welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. I was talking about communism and socialism and stuff like that before. I was getting kind of a bit ranty. I like to rant. It happens when I don't have a guest on or something like that. I just, you know, I don't need one, basically. but it's always nice because I get 5 days a week on the radio, and that's what people don't understand about why I have so many different people on that I've never had on before, that I've never spoken to, I don't know who they are, blah, 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 blah. I get this radio show 5 days a week if I want, and so it means nothing to me. Okay, just doing a show means very little because it happens all the time, kind of like how breathing is something you don't think about. This show's as natural to me as breathing is to the average person. And that's actually the reason why I give so many opportunities and so many slots away to basically anybody who asks, anybody who wishes to come on the show, if I've never heard of them, even if I get, you know how sometimes you get a bad feeling about people, you know, I just let those people on anyway. And 9 times out of 10, I was correct. They weren't a very good guest. However, I would rather have actually done it than not. You know, I don't know where I'm going with this, but in either case, when you are a radio show host, a lot of obligations and things upon you. You're in the public eye, and basically the danger is, you'll say something, and because you're saying it to many more people than the average person, you know, you're not just having a conversation with somebody in your living room, are you? You're having a conversation with everybody else, and they're in their living rooms, you know, sort of invading their personal space to a degree. sure, they invited you. Sure, they turned on the radio and all of that kind of thing. But it doesn't mean that what you say won't be misinterpreted or get angry at and stuff like this. And it's happened many times before where I'll have somebody come up to me and go, Vinny, I love you. Your show is so great. You're brilliant. You're excellent. You say what I think and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they've never met me, never had a conversation with me or anything like that. The people who show that kind of devotion without doing so, okay, without knowing my faults and all of this kind of stuff, are the exact same people who will show rage and aggression to you for no reason, conversely, okay? So you come up to somebody, you have no idea who they are, you love them ridiculously or whatever, it's the same mentality as suddenly that person says one thing, one tiny little insignificant thing that doesn't actually mean anything, and if you did a tiny modicum of research or something, you would understand that. But you say this one thing, and they suddenly start swearing at you, abusing you, and basically you become a pariah when previously they loved you ridiculously, okay? It's a very interesting thing, and that's why when people are like that towards me, if they like me heaps and they send me these emails that are long and they're thanking me heaps for chatting back to them and that sort of thing, it screams of, too much devotion. Okay, and not enough interaction, not enough social skills, because what you're doing really is you might be not have many friends in your own life, and you find somebody else who this has happened to me as well. I'm guilty of this phenomenon too. But if you're not, shall we say, with it in terms of socializing and going out there and just talking and getting along with pretty much everybody, as I do, you develop an attachment to people a little too quickly because you misinterpret what they're saying as something that you fully agree with or whatever. It's basically like, I'm not good friends with anybody unless I know them, okay? Unless they've done something for me and vice versa, and the relationship is reciprocal. If it's a one-sided, then sure, you'll wind up having bad conflicts and things like that because one of you is using the other. My interpretation on this is that unless you've got a solid base of people who keep you in check, like I do, for instance, I've got all these activist mates and people who are truthers and have been so for a long time, people who've basically been screwed over a fair bit in their life and understand what it does to you. Those are the kind of people that usually become very good friends, who are very loyal and will ask you a question rather than accuse you. That's the kind of mates I love because they're always there for you. They're always willing to try and understand you. And if you are being a knob, they will tell you about it, but they'll tell you about it in a way that actually allows you to improve from it and get over it, rather than something that ends the relationship. Dude, you're being a knob. Oh shoot, sorry man, sorry. Okay, I was. I'm sorry man. I was real tired, and I had a bit maybe too much coffee and stuff like that. And I was just flew off the handle. But I'm really sorry. He's like, no, it's okay, bro. Just you know, don't do that again, eh? Okay, you got to keep your behavior in check for each other. And when you're alone and the only person who's talking to you was on the other end of a radio, that's a tip. That's a tip that you need to be finding some very good, understanding, decent people and start to incorporate them into your daily life. These are the most valuable assets you will ever have, more than your car, more than your house, more than anything else, as mates who are willing to cut off their arm for you. You know? Not literally, of course, but you know what I'm talking about. Loyalty, all right? Not loyalty as in a save mark card. I'm talking about loyalty as in I don't have anything to gain by doing this for you. I actually lose resources by having you as a friendship, but I actually gain, perspective, peace of mind. I gain so much out of being friends with you, and I simply appreciate the fact that you are. Even if I may not get a terribly large amount out of it, even if, blah, 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 you simply enjoy each other's company, and basically that perspective is the thing that actually keeps you in check, okay? I understand how it is. I used to be very antisocial. I used to be incredibly violent as a kid. You know, I was just like, get beat up by my dad all the time. And you know, you go to school, you start taking it out on the other kids and stuff like that. I even ripped off a chunk of one of my best friend's hair one day, okay, because he wouldn't give me, because he wouldn't pay me back after he took some of my paint and stuff like that. You know, just stupid things. And the whole idea is you got to stop being angry. Okay, just because bad stuff's happened to you doesn't mean you should start doing bad stuff to other people. Just because you're frustrated doesn't mean you should take it out on anybody who's willing to converse with you. Understand what the hell is wrong with you. Point the finger at the people who actually deserve it, the people who actually did it to you. This is their problem. We don't know who the enemy is. We don't know what capacity we have. We don't know, we don't know, we don't know. We act like we know, and we try and tell everybody else and give them the impression that we know what we're talking about when we frickin' don't. I've got the cream of the crop kind of recognition and realization here that, well, basically, as soon as I start... as soon as I start messing around or whatever, I instantly get pulled up on things. So this will stop me, I feel, from becoming corrupt in the long run. Because anybody who gets into entertainment, business, media, politics, any of these main positions with primary influential, anybody who's capable of owning a platform in the media, business or politics that's capable of projecting information, projecting interpretation, projecting anything, what you're doing is you're essentially batting far above your weight. And it's kind of dangerous if not kept in check. You know, you need, for example, somebody writes an article. That's why he has an editor, because an editor is not that person. He'll go over and he'll say, okay, that's correct, that's correct. This is not spelled correctly. This thing doesn't have any research to back it up. You need to quantify that before we can publish it. Have you got three sources on it? Yes. Okay, cool. We can run with it. Other than that, if you don't have those people to keep you in check and what have you, there's nothing to stop you from becoming corrupt. Okay. And this goes for the truth movement as well as everybody else. And corruption is a, how could I say this? Corruption's perennial. It'll always be there. It always has been. And the cost of freedom is eternal vigilance, as the founding fathers said. It's a republic, ma'am, if you can keep it. And the whole idea of having individual rights and liberties by which the United States was founded upon is simply now washing away, because people, instead of wanting to be surrounded by people that would keep them in check had they been corrupt, they simply want to take that freedom to its illogical conclusion and start wailing on everybody, lying, distorting, and destroying everything that America stood for. And there's nobody to keep them in check because they've gained too much power already. That's the situation we're in. And it matters not the country, of course, just using the United States as an example. These people need to be surrounded by corruption, exposing people, like, at all times. This goes for the mainstream media as well as the truth movement. And I think the more powerful you get, I think basically that old Lord Acton quote, absolute power corrupts. Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely, and all great men are inherently evil. Okay, so let's just give the example of me. This is how I've figured it out. I know that I'm inherently evil. All right, seriously, I have got so many bad thoughts running through my mind about things that I want to do, and when people make me angry, I have these visions of real terrible stuff that I want to do to them, and I don't do it, though. I've got impulse control. But it doesn't change the fact that all that's there. And it doesn't change the fact that had I been given the power to do it with absolute impunity, I might be tempted to. You know what I'm saying? Temptation is the thing that really kind of gets to you when you're in a public position of office, or if you have any power, like a radio show host or a politician or a big business owner or blah, 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 right? It's power. And it scares the hell out of me, frankly, because I don't want to turn into that guy, you know? that dude who just says, "Oh well, I've gotten into this position of my own volition. Frack you, you know. I'm not gonna listen to you. I don't have to. You're just a pathetic piece of trash, and you're not as big as me, and you're this, that, and the other." You know, somebody who gets so full of themselves that they get too far ahead of themselves. You know what I'm saying? Somebody who believes that they've done so much good that they can no longer do any wrong. That is not a good idea, okay? You turn into a megalomaniac, psychopathic scumbag that will betray everybody around you, which is why I want to do the direct opposite. I want to give the power that I gain to other people. That's why I bring so many different people on this radio show, even if I disagree with them, even if I don't like them, even if I haven't heard about them or whatever. So long as they're not mean to me. You know, I just don't like people being mean to me. I had to deal with that kind of stuff through high school and what have you, and being teased, and it brings up bad memories. I don't want to ever have to go through that kind of crap again. So barring that, anybody will come on. And the whole idea really is my kind of personal methodology to ensure that I don't become corrupt, or I don't start becoming that quote-unquote guy, is to essentially surround myself with all of these people who expose COINTELPRO, who can see through lies like an X-ray machine, people who are well-researched, who will know if I've misinterpreted something, that sort of thing. I want these people to be very, very close to me and keep a close watch on me at all times. Not interfere with my life, but if I start to become some kind of a douchebag, heaven forbid, I want my friends to do the right thing, expose me, sabotage me, and get me off the air so that I cannot poison the truth movement or do damage to the human race with the abilities by which I possess. Because we are all very, very dangerous people. We all need to help to keep each other in check. And as soon as we think we can do no wrong, that's when we do the worst of it. People forget that. People forget that temptation exists. People forget that power is something that we all crave to certain degrees. Most of us just want power over simple things. Like, I just want the power to be able to feed my kids and live in peace and harmony. That's what most people want. And anybody who wants any more than that, they're dangerous. And I include myself in that. So don't forget, okay? I may to some people be great or nice or kind or this, that, and the other. But just like anybody else who actually desires to do good and who wants to gain abilities or technology or power in order to do it, inherently evil. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Gentlemen, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. If you would like to call in, the lines are now open, 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. If you'd like to get on the air and talk about something, whatever you feel like, because at the moment there are no plans and I'm just going to rant about whatever basically comes to mind. And something that was coming over the mind whilst I was taking a wiki leak during the break was global warming, and specifically the global warming denier complex. Like, let me see how can I check this out. Okay, well, basically, if you're pro-global warming and pro-global taxation and everything like that, you're just a commie, okay? It's pretty straightforward, and you see all these people, environmentalists, blah, 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 blah. Oh, environmentalist is interchangeable with communist, basically. Anybody who denies that, you're wrong, okay? I can say that because it's the truth. That's what gives it the force, the extra oomph, as Bill Hicks would say. If you're pro-global warming, pro-taxation, pro-control over all human resources and stuff like that, then you're a communist. Okay? An exterminatory, a scumbag communist. And I know a lot of communists. I know a lot of socialists. You know how many of them listen to my show? Okay, none of them. You know why? Because they're communists. They don't like new ideas. They don't they're basically just idiots. Okay? If you're an idiot and you're listening to this show, I'm wondering why. Because normally you'll come in and you'll start listening and I'll say something that's truthful and respectful or whatever and you'll misinterpret it and bugger off and you'll never listen to the show again. You know, that's the way I like it. I'm hanging the big bait out there so that everybody who knows the truth and speaks the truth and wants to actually be an honest, decent person in their life will go, wow, yeah, and keep listening. The people who are dishonest inherently, the people who are reactionary, the people who misinterpret, the people that speculate without corroboratory evidence, the people who are not willing to abandon their beliefs when contrary evidence is presented. Those people will become angry with the show relatively quickly and switch it off. Now, I could do what other radio show hosts have done and say, I'm not going to discuss this particular topic and this particular topic and that and or this particular whole field or whatever, and I'm going to specialize on this, blah, 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 because it brings in more audience. That is not my game, man. I want everything. Okay? That's what I want. Kind of like the I'm sort of like the New World Order in a way. I want everything. I want to hear everything. I want to see everything. I want to experience everything within reason that I can. For example, terribly fussed. I don't really want to experience being shot in the foot, for instance, or I don't want to experience having a broken arm or a broken leg or blah, 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 blah. Any number of umpteen sufferings. I'm talking about just information here. I want as much information as I possibly can so I can have that thing that very few people have called frickin' discernment. Right? That's what people don't do. They send me a list of people to interview. Interview this person, and that person because they're great. But don't interview this person or that person because they're awful and they're terrible and they'll lie and blah, 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 blah. So, dude, I'll just listen to them both, okay? If you want to only focus on a few key areas, cool. That's just not my methodology, okay? My methodology is to basically, you know, let everything in. I'm kind of like an open window. If the light changes, my light changes. If the sun disappears behind a cloud, I get cold. And I don't close the curtains, and so I can see what the heck is going on outside. I can see the weather changing. I can interpret these things, you know? That's what listening to many, 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 many people, particularly activists, is really been like. Is, well, essentially, you no longer have a myopia about so many things. And it makes arguing with people very, very interesting because they have to be prepared to listen to you in order for you to actually explain what it is you know or what it is you've been told or anything like that. It takes too much for some people. They simply don't wish to learn or care or anything. They don't have a lust for the truth, basically. It's just like, nah, it could be true, it might not be, and I'll just sit around and do absolutely nothing in the meantime and just tell everybody else that they're stupid if they say anything that I disagree with that I don't know nothing about. Really? So you're saying I'm stupid because I said something you know nothing about. That's right. Okay, thank you very much. Socialist, goodbye. And another person will say, this is an interesting conversation I had. Just interpretation and argument is something that you can only have with sober people in a lot of cases, unless, of course, they're not drunk, but they're on something like a I don't know, some sort of psychedelic or something like that. Yeah, people are really willing to listen to you on those ones, especially if you're talking about conspiracy, because it trips them out even more. but yeah. There was a conversation I had with my cousin. Anyway, who doesn't know who Paula Bennett is, she's an incredibly large, corpulent woman who runs the social services here in New Zealand. Okay, and she's basically been like the Uber bully. So if you complain to her about such and such and such, what she does, if you're a beneficiary, she publishes your benefit details and your stuff online for people to see. Okay, that's a government minister having that personal reaction and going, ha ha, this person thinks they can complain about how draconian we are. I'll just violate their privacy and get away with it too. Whole big media makes a big fuss about it. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? Any disciplinary action? Fracking no. But instead, what happens is instead of that person being reprimanded and showing some consequences for their immoral actions and messing with people who basically have no protection against them, i.e. the people who are on government benefits and what have you, what we're going to do is we're just going to drug test all the beneficiaries instead. That will make it a lot more fair for everybody, right? So if anybody who's had a spliff in the last month or something like that goes in and they've just lost their job because of John Key messing the economy around, you instead get John Key's little wenchy Paula Bennett to just cut your benefit off, or better yet, cut it in half. So not only can you not pay your rent anymore, but you can't eat, you can't pay your electricity bills, and so therefore you turn to crime, and, you know, hey presto, boom, we can arrest you, pop you in jail for our private prison system. Isn't that nice? On the one hand, we giveth, and the other, we lock you away. That's the deity of government, isn't it? This is why I believe anybody who wants the government to be the ones providing their services and all of that kind of stuff is incredibly dangerous, because once you become dependent on somebody, they can basically it makes change incredibly difficult when you've got dependence. If you're completely independent, change can just be a complete and utter unimpeded constant. When you've got institutions who are the ones that you rely on, you know, whether that be the church. I rely on the church for my spiritual enlightenment. Okay, really, what do you do, Brody? You go to church every Sunday? Yep. Okay. Why Sunday? Well, it's because on the seventh day he rested. Then why aren't you at home resting instead of going out and going to church, bro? Well, they just told us it's a day of worship and stuff like that. Did you read that somewhere? Or did your priest just tell you so that you keep coming to his church every Sunday and giving him money for his collection plate so he can go off and hire pedophiles to kidnap children for him to rape? Huh? What's going on here? See, you can't have a conversation with these people. Because they won't see that information as like holy cow and then suddenly change direction or anything like that. They'll see me as being somebody who's insulting their faith, you know, turning their religion into some kind of demonized classic interpretation of demonology or blah 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 blah, whatever. They'll just, and if they don't know what I'm talking about, they'll just make it up. Okay, you said this, this, and this. No, I didn't. I said nothing of the sort. In fact, I said the opposite of what you just said that I said. I said, I heard it clearly. You're a liar. I hate your guy. You know, people getting freaking out of their minds like rabid dogs. I mean, almost, it's like you, and this isn't just religious people. This is everybody. Anybody who devotes themselves to anything is usually a slave who has no comprehension of anything that they're doing and simply doesn't want to learn, okay? That's my interpretation of it anyway. If you're doing your own thing, on the other hand, that's usually a person who can think. If you're doing your own thing and you don't have any other people around you that are anywhere near as powerful as you are, if you're like the head honcho and everybody else is beneath you, you're probably a dick, okay? That's what I found. Is that if you are a bit of a psycho, you'll surround yourself with people who are weaker, dumber, and less capable. If you're a smart person and a good person, on the other hand, you'll find that all the people that they have around them are smarter, more capable, and nicer in some ways, and more well accomplished than they are. You'd be surprised with the list of mates that I've got, man. They make me look like an idiot. They make me look like I'm talentless. They make me look like my ability to research is not entirely more sophisticated than a child learning to put a shape through a hole. Okay? This is the kind of friends that I want. People I can actually learn something off. People who actually help me to develop. People who help me to be a better man. Because if I was happy with who I was, I've sorted it. I'm a communist, and I want a communist world government, okay? I've sorted it. I don't want religion. I don't want any of that. I want draconian laws to surveil everybody and destroy everything. I want to be asked for my papers, please, wherever I go. And I want to make sure that every time I drive on a road, it is a toll road. I want to make sure that everybody's house has surveillance cameras in them so I can spy on their bedrooms and watch them having sex with each other and stuff like that, just to make sure they're doing it safely. I'm a communist. I fit into a box. I'm a mind-controlled frickin' slave. And you should be too, because I'm very, very happy. Can't you see how happy I am? You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be right back. Gentlemen, to hour number two of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island-chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. We'd like some callers in, if anybody was keen. It's real funny. Whenever I ask for callers, nobody wants to call it. 218-339-8525, 218-339-8525. Call in, unless you've got broken fingers and can't punch from that number, 218-339-8525. Now, the war. Have you noticed that everybody's getting real kind of ticked off about how to be a truther and I want the information, I want the date of this financial crash and that kind of thing. It's like everybody's scrambling to get accurate information, and as a direct result, they're stressing themselves out trying to get accurate information, and as a result of being stressed out, the information loses its effect and instead just freaks them out instead. That's what's happening here, man. Everybody's like addicted to the fear porn. It's like, inject that heroin from Afghanistan directly into my brain chasm places, because I don't want to be happy. I want to be afraid about false flags in Iran. I want to be afraid about nuclear issues in Israel. I want to be afraid about copious quantities of Fukushima nuclear radiation raining down on us like there's no friggin' tomorrow. In fact, there probably won't be. I want to be afraid about copious quantities of barium and aluminium being sprayed on me like I'm a frickin' cockroach. I want to be afraid about these vaccine manufacturers who are putting cancer viruses in my kids' MMR shot. I want to be afraid about how aspartame eats away at my brain as though it is frickin' Swiss cheese. I want to be afraid. And give me the specifics of what I should be afraid about today. Oh, my God. You can't listen to that. I can't anymore. You know, I used to love that type of stuff. And sure enough, I get angry and really afraid about everything. Or find, and even if I wasn't, I'd start trying to find reasons to be. And now I'm doing the exact opposite. Okay, I'm doing the exact opposite. I have this idea that, well, basically, sure, there are real threats out there. Sure, we have to expose them. Sure, we have to talk about them. However, keeping yourself sane is more important in some ways, okay? Because what's the point of knowing all this bad stuff that's going on if you go insane because of it? What if, instead of trying to find reasons to agree with people, you're in fact trying to manufacture reasons to disagree with them and then leave the conversation? Okay? No, you're an idiot, blah, 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 I'm out of here. Okay? The person's not yelling at you. The person's not ranting at you. The person's trying to talk reasonably and calmly and stuff like that with you. But they don't like it that way. Sorry, mate. I'm sorry you don't like reason. I'm sorry you don't like being calm. I'm sorry you don't like jokes. I'm sorry that you wish to be concerned overly about everything when it ain't your personal responsibility. I'm sorry that you wish to make everything your problem. Okay? Nothing. None of this is your fault, per se. I mean, look, how many people listening to this show have actually flown a plane that sprayed chemtrails on people? If there are people that are listening like that, you should be absolutely ashamed of yourself. But the rest of us, we get guilt-tripped into thinking that it's our fault because we let it happen. Well, how are you going to stop it from happening? A stinger missile? I mean, come on. You know, you're putting too much of a burden and responsibility on yourself than is actually there. That's the whole idea behind the fear protocol. It wakes people up, on the other hand, and actually gets them motivated and starts them doing something about it, starts them taking responsibility. So there's an element to it, but I don't think it needs to be hyped. I don't think it needs to be focused on. I think that in fact, the thing that should be really focused on is coping mechanisms. Okay? Sitting back and just going, ooh, it's real tough out there. It's scary, but it's real hilarious. You know, that's what I try to do anyway. And sure enough, we wind up with guests on the show all the time who actually are in the deep thick of these scary conspiracies, who are like CIA whistleblowers or part of the Montauk Project and doing time travel and mind control and blah, 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 blah. All these horrible things, being sexually destroyed in a small room by CIA handlers and stuff like that, and then coming out and hosting a radio show and just laughing all day long. Okay? That is healthy. Being worried about it, reliving it, and trying to gain more information about how fracked we are doesn't help a whole lot, because you don't really do a terribly large amount about it, do you? You know what really limits the amount of fear that you've got? Experiencing real scary situations on a daily basis. You get desensitized to it, okay? You know, do you have any idea how scary it is and how much your heart pounds when you get on a megaphone in front of a hospital? It's actually quite intimidating. That's what I did on the weekend. 100-watt megaphone, talked about how the medical industry tells people that they don't know their own bodies, that the doctors do, and then sure enough, the medical industry, of course, winds up being the leading cause of death in New Zealand and elsewhere. Isn't that interesting? And my heart was racing, hammering in my chest. I was scared that there might be some kind of security guards or some kind of extreme commie that comes out and says, you're against public health care. And so in order to protect the public health and public good, I'm going to stab you. And then you'll go and get patched up by these people. That'll show you. Just insane people. Okay. And bear in mind, you can write people off as insane. All right. Believe me. Write people off as insane more than often enough, I think, because some people are so angry, so myopic, so capable of being manipulated that there's literally nothing you can do for them. Okay, it's like triage on the battlefield in an intellectual sense of the word. You see some people on the battlefield that are bleeding out, they've lost half their body, you know for a fact you can't stop the bleeding, and that person's about to die, okay? I'm sorry, mate, best I can do for you is like in the good, bad, and the ugly, I can give you a puff of my cigar, and then I'm gonna walk off and just leave you and hope that you make your peace with God before you do. You know, that kind of thing. Same as an intellectual sense in the battlefield of ideas. When you're out there and you've got people who are yelling at you, screaming at you, accusing you of stuff, saying things that aren't true, not listening to you, never shutting the frack up, never doing anything about these beliefs that they have, and the best thing that they can do is just yell at other people because they're not actually willing to risk themselves or go out there and speak to the public, to more than one person at a time, because they're afraid that the public might turn against them or anything like that, or they're just too much of a useless piece of trash and they don't really know what they're talking about anyway, and they've got no confidence and they don't have any personal responsibility, and because they hate everything and everyone and whatever, they don't want to help them anyway, even though they think that they're right and everyone else is wrong. Frack that! Okay? Shut up. You've got too much. You got too much crap in your head, okay? And that's what the fear does to you, all right? It's a fear of not knowing enough, a fear of being wrong, a fear of not having control. You never had it. And the sooner you realize that you don't have control of situations the world over, the better. Don't be afraid of things that you cannot control, because there's nothing to benefit you. Okay, if a lion's charging at you, you can run. You can control that situation. You can pull out your rifle and cap that cat, okay, and shoot him in the head. And as he goes down in front of you and think, hey, I've got a new throw rug, okay? That's something you can do something about. That's something you've got tools for. Not in the rest of the stuff, on the other hand. It's a lot harder to figure out how to fight something that has a complex apparatus, okay? Let's say, for example, you want to start fighting the medical industry. Good luck. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. It's just you want to accomplish things, right? Okay, and you protest. You write letters. You write your submissions. You expose them. You sue doctors. You do this, that, and the other. The best you can hope for is tiny little successes here and there, individual achievements here and there. The whole system won't change, okay, unless everybody's doing it. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I'm talking about the fear of not doing enough. Okay, that's another thing we've got a problem with. You should be doing this and that and the other and blah, 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 blah. Really, how many kids have you got? Well, I've got 5 kids. Okay. Well, mate, that's a hell of a responsibility. Are you raising those kids incredibly well? Yeah, then you're doing a bloody good job, because there's a hell of a lot of people out there who got one kid, can't even raise them well. Plus, they don't know anything about the New World Order either, okay? So you have achieved something just there alone. Be proud of it. It's another thing. Be proud of your little achievements, okay? Even if you don't overthrow the whole system by yourself, which ain't freaking possible, just be happy with all the little things you do. That, in fact, that's kind of the reason why I record so much of the stuff that we do at protests, specifically because nobody else does. And if somebody else does record it, it either gets edited away and not broadcast on mainstream media, as the mainstream reporters will do, or it'll be just some activist commie or something like that who's just like sitting there filming and whatever, never uploads it, never edits it, never actually makes an effort, basically. They just happen to be there with a camera. Follow through. Okay, it works for farts as well as it does for an activist. You've got to follow through. If you're going to film somebody, then for frack's sake, show that film to other people. Upload it, even if it's raw, okay? I figured out that it was going to be far too much of a drain of my time and resources to edit absolutely every single video, because I'm filming like umpteen videos a week. I don't have the time to edit. So I created a cheat. It's called Mr. News Raw. I just uploaded it all raw with a little intro and outro that's stock standard, okay? And then whatever the heck gets said, whatever the heck gets done, people now have the capacity to use it. And it's all Creative Commons uploaded in HD, so that if anybody wishes to uncut like a speech or a statement from me or any of the umpteen activists or celebrities or whatever that I've interviewed over the years, go for your life. That's what I'm doing it for. All of my radio shows as well. You want to use, you want the contact details of those guests that I've got on? Ask me. I'll give them to you. Do you think any of this was accomplished because I tried to keep everything to myself? No way, bro. No way. Okay? Every single day, I work real, real hard with other people to make this radio show happen, to make that YouTube channel have new videos, to go out and film things at the at submissions to the Health Select Committee about vaccines or EMF radiation or asthma or blah, 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 blah. All these different things from all over the place that actually never get covered, never get anything. Just showing up, filming, and then just clicking the upload button is enough, because then I've done more in a day than most activists with cameras will do in a decade. Honestly, that's the problem with people. They don't follow through. If you're going to try and accomplish something, don't try. Just do it, okay? Make sure you got something to show for it. If I was going to go and ambush somebody about vaccines or something of that nature, they'd have to be somebody very high profile. It would have to be very scripted. Like, I would have set questions that are real nasty, the kind of ones that force a denial. Okay? For example, do you operate a eugenics program in Africa, Miss Helen Clark, who's the head of the UN Development Program, that is meant to sterilize the black population? Oh, no. Instantly, you know, force a denial out of them. It's fun. No, seriously. It may scare the hell out of you, but it's also a hell of a lot of fun. Okay, get to it. You got nothing to lose except your life, and that's going to end anyway. And we have a caller in here, Tom, in San Antonio. Are you there, Tom?
Yeah. Hey, Vinny, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty enraged today, yeah, I guess.
I figured at least somebody would call today, and I felt bad for you that nobody was calling in, so I figured I'd call. Anyways, I want to tell you I appreciate. I wasn't feeling it. I was in a kind of lousy mood today, but listening to you, you cheered me up, and I really appreciate your show every day and your attitude, and you just lift my spirits and stuff, and all the work you put into the truth movement and everything. You know, it's just really good, your attitude, and you're just funny. You're a funny guy and stuff like that. And I just appreciate it. And stuff. I thought at least one person should call in. You probably got a million people listening to you today. I don't know why nobody else did, but I haven't called in and talked to you for a while.
Well, you know what, Tom? I bet you everybody else thought the same as you. Surely somebody else will do it.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And that's the classic problem we've got in our whole society, isn't it? Nobody wants to call in. Because they think somebody else will do it for them. We'll be right back after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's about jamming a big monkey wrench into the apparatus of scumbags that would poison you, trying to use music to wake people up and get free candidates elected to rule your country and what have you. So they're just poisoning everybody that you died of cancer from smoking weed like Bob Marley did. And speaking of people who are dying of cancer and smoking weed, my very special guests. No, I'm kidding. We've got Freda X and one of my very special listeners, Peter Dunn, on the show here at the moment. Peter, if you've got a call-in or something like that you'd like to say quickly, and then we'll go to Freda.
I just want to say good day, good morning. You're doing a great job, Vinny. I enjoy gaining wisdom from your excellent pearl that come from your mouth. Just basically, I've just been through a court process where I asked my landlord to prove to me how much water they allege that I've used, but they ignore weights and measures. Then they send the sheriff around to the sheriff and try to explain to him how rent's calculated, water and land rates are used. We've been through this before, Vinny, last time I rang you back in April. And basically the court just said, here's a fine, goodbye. So now I just got to collect my dole and give the same money back to the government that they give me to appease some water god somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's what happens when private corporations take over the government and use a British Empire model of court systems and resource extraction and basically legalise slavery in order to extract resources out of your ass, isn't it?
Yeah, people ask me, "What was the water too much for you to pay or something?" I says, that's not the point. The point is, if I don't stand up for it now, like my parents and other community members should have stood up against this fiat water charge when it first was implemented, we wouldn't be going through this crap at the moment. But they still can't prove to me how much I've used. I've still got a bill from the government. I've been fined. So where we go from here is, I don't know, we just move one day at a time.
Yeah. It's like...
And it's what my little situation is like a microcosm of what's going to happen all over the place.
Yeah, that's totally right, man. Peter, well, thank you for your call. And also, if you want to know how to fight water companies, I can put you in touch with my friend Penny Bright from the Water Pressure Group. They've had a lot of successes and of course, a lot of failures, but I think that's activism in general, on fighting the water companies, reinstalling meters, beating them in court, stuff like that. She's been to court a total of like 22 times or something like that, and won every single time, except the one time when she was... she was barred from attending public council meetings because she brought up information. I think that was one of the charges or something like that. She brought up sensitive council information at council meetings, and that's why she's not allowed to come to council meetings because she... that's going to the International Human Rights Court. So anyway,
a corporate court wanting the not letting the truth be told in front of it—that's quid pro, isn't it?
Yeah. And I reckon everybody who works in those kind of court systems, instead of with the quid pro quo, they should just quit, bro. All right. Thanks, Peter, for your call, bro. And we're going to go.
Time, sir. Enjoy.
All right. I'm going to go to Freda X now. Freda, welcome to the program.
Greetings. How are you, Vinny?
You know, borderlining on fabulous.
At all times. It's been a while since I talked with you, actually.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, Fredo, we need to start doing. I don't think Danny Romero will give us any more airtime to splurge on AFR. But you know, we should start doing Skype calls and recording the video or whatever, and putting them up on our YouTube channels. I think because frack, we have a good time, and your buddy James as well has. In fact, there's some background info with you two guys going to be doing a project together soon enough, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm open to some ideas that he has. I mean, I've got a pretty full plate myself, my friend. I just yesterday turned in my chapter of Sync Book Volume 2. Came in at 3,669 words. So I went over a little. but you know, I'm long-winded, so it works out. But and then I'm on now to the next project, which is, you know, The Secret War Inside Freemasonry. We're going to write it this winter. It's going to be written. And as a matter of fact, I've got Freeman is going to come in to the middle chamber throughout the winter and be a guest host over there at during, you know, the time when I'm writing. He's going to help me out by coming on live, you know, on AFR again. And because he's not, you know, he's really got no home now as far as live broadcast goes. He's strictly podcasting. And so this is a way for him to get back into the live game, and we'll see how things go. But, yeah, so, I mean, if James has got a book he's writing as well right now for New Falcon Press, and he's, you know, he's got a lot of interviews to do himself, and I'm hoping that James could come and sit in. He's got a few guests that I would love to have brought in to the AFR family. As you know, we all, Vinny, is you've done a great job of bringing the radio hosts together with your Radio Alliance, and also with the listeners too, because you've got another little chat group too going for the listeners. Isn't that right, Vinny?
Yeah. After the show every day, you can call my Skype and I'll add you into a group call with all the listeners who have just listened to the show. And, you know, sometimes those calls can go on for 16 hours or something like that, because it's like, I don't know about you, Freda, but I've noticed that if I talk to a regular person who's not a truther, the conversation will last, I don't know, at most like 30 minutes if I really like them and whatever. But with other people who know the stuff that we know, they'll also know a heck of a lot that we don't. And the conversations can go on kind of literally forever. It just depends how long you're capable of staying awake for.
Oh, absolutely, because we tap each other's resources. You know, each truther has gathered their individual, you know, database of knowledge, and it's always a little bit different than what you've got. They've gone just a little bit different angle, different perspective. You know, they've thought of something you didn't, and they've hunted down this lead in a different direction. And it is amazing. I agree. This whole journey has been that's the best part of doing all this, is all the people that I've come into contact with and all the amazing conversations. And I agree, getting on an international chat on Skype and just going at it with a group of folks that are all enthusiastic about what we're doing, it's second to none.
And also, if you come into it, you're usually coming into it through this radio show. And this radio show, I think, is kind of like a swamp or an estuary. You know, there's only certain things that can survive there in the type of environment. And yet, it's a very thriving ecosystem. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I agree. It's a fertile crescent, a fertile earth. But you know, another thing I wanted to put out there. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with the Free Your Mind Conference 2013 that's coming up in Philadelphia. It's like the hugest thing on the map these days. Have you heard about this, Vinny?
No, but I heard about the Free Landmine Conference in Vietnam.
Well, you know, come on, man. Let's move on, all right, from Vietnam. Let's let it lie, okay?
Yeah, no. Well, I just wanted to kind of...
They lied a lot about it, didn't they?
Well, I just wanted to make some children's toys, you know, that were like Vietnam-themed, you know, like Tonkin trucks or something like that. I don't know.
Well, I was going to say, if you want to talk about children's toys, you just got to work... You know, cluster bombs take care of that, man. Those little orange little explosive devices that are left from cluster bombs all over the ground for children to play with.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Oh, that's true. You know, and they're loving it. It's kind of like Santa Claus in that way. You know, he doesn't just drop one toy that they have to share. He drops many that they can all have one of their own.
And they're brightly colored and inviting.
Yeah. I mean, mate, who wouldn't love that?
It's really thoughtful of the military contractors of America and other European countries to devise such a colorful and inviting product as a cluster bomb with all its little appendages.
And apparently the main offices of Halliburton and Lockheed Martin and things like that, they have their staff daycare and things like that, and the children get to play with the products off the end of the assemblies lines. You know, apparently one kid got really possessive of a giant nuclear warhead and threatened to start a war with another child who and he didn't know what country he was from, kind of thing, which is kind of indicative of the whole weapons manufacturing. But so they stopped giving the kids nuclear weapons to play with, but yeah.
Speaking of evil globalist agendas and such, did you know that in the wake of the Holmes shooting there in Aurora, I believe it was in that wake, Obama signed a huge, huge arms deal over in, some Middle Eastern countries, you know, and also quasi-satellite Russian nations from the Black Sea and Caspian Sea areas. Yeah, we brokered a huge arms deal in that wake. I mean, I'm sure that played a big role, big part in his decision making with the, you know, the shootings that went on there.
Yeah, but you know what we should do? We should just say, let's trust the president blindly and blame everything that he does on the party that was on before him that aren't in control now. Oh, it's somebody else's fault before him. Our president doesn't have any power over what he does. He doesn't have decision making capabilities. Every previous administration binds the subsequent one. Right? Right?
Oh. It's funny you mention that, too, when we talk about issues with presidents, the current election process going on in America. You know, there's all these issues they throw out there. Well, I like to think of them as slave issues, really. You know, like abortion and gay marriage and all these things are like, these are the issues they throw to the masses. But the really important issues like foreign policy and, you know, financial reform, the issues that both candidates share that are like carbon copies of each other – There's no voting on that. We're not voting for that. Oh, no, no, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. We're not going to vote about that.
And your choices are so poor that you try to find, like, it's almost like you're looking at a bald cat, like Mr. Bigglesworth of frickin' Austin Powers, and you're trying to, and you don't like cats that are hairless. So you're trying as you may, trying to find something that looks even remotely like a hair. Hey, look, there's one. Okay, there's it's got one hair on it. Okay, I guess it's not that bad. It's not totally hairless. And this is the how you look at policy now. Okay, so for example, the Labor government here in New Zealand comes up with these education reforms, and the left goes, "Yeah, they're very nice." And then I'll talk to them and just go, "Hey, bro, but didn't they bring in all this other stuff that completely shafted everybody back in the day when they were in power?" And they're like, "Yeah, yeah, I agree. I agree with you. We can't trust them." Then why in the hell are you promoting anything that they're doing as even slightly positive? Because what they're doing is they're simply offering this one tiny little benefit to you as a kind of as bait, essentially, so that they'll give you power and then they'll have legitimacy and a mandate to pass all these other evil things that they have planned that they ain't telling you about.
And they subtly just pass it on through, shuffling along to the authority beat. Everyone just falls in line, totally obeys. Hey, did you see that link I put up in your chat room and I sent it to you on Skype for the DUI checkpoint breath test? Oh, it's great, guys. I'll put it up in your chat room again. Everybody's got to check this out. These guys get, it's a 2-minute video. They get stopped at this checkpoint and they refuse to answer questions. They totally Dean Clifford these guys. They completely refuse to answer the cops' questions and they let them go, man. They let them go. I mean, that's it. I just put it up in your chat room. They let these guys go because that's it. You're not engaging in the contract. You're not offering them up your authority. You're not saying, you know, by not answering the questions, you're not falling under their authority, as it were, giving over your authority to them. And, I mean, that's what we're dealing with here on a macrocosmic level with election cycles, with all these government issues that you just brought up. People have to wake up to the fact that we give them our authority daily, and we don't have to anymore. And that's the biggest fear they have. They know it's true.
Yeah, well, you see it. I don't know if you were ever friends with bullies as a child, Fredo, but I kind of was, and I didn't really know what I was doing, kind of thing. As a kid, it's like you get enchanted by these people, and they're powerful, and they're like big and strong and stuff like that, and you think they're your friends, but the reality is they just sit around abusing you behind your back when you're not there, and just using you for whatever their own ends are, and hurting other people because they don't actually have any good ideas, and that's the same thing that is happening as far as I'm concerned in government today. Big bullies any ideas who just want to steal your frickin' lunch money.
Yeah, it's jailhouse mentality. You know, it's more entertaining to abuse you and torture you than to face the harsh realities of our condition, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it comes down to, really. But let's take it one step further. You know, I live in America. In America, we are conditioned from kindergarten, children's garden, where we're grown, you know, little state soldiers and industrial workers. We are conditioned to obey authority. That's one of the three tenets you learn in public schools.
Oh, well, hold on a second. Is that what kindergarten means? It's a mixture of gardening and conditioning? Kindergarten?
Yeah, it's children's garden. It's growing children. It's the Prussian model of schooling, which is, we need you to do exactly what the state says, no matter what it is, whether it's go murder these people over here or risk your life in this factory over here. Whatever it is, we need you to do it without question. And in America, you know, I'll tell you what, growing up in America in public schooling and private schooling, bottom line is it's hard to say no to authority. I've been conditioned. I feel it in my bones. It's hard for me to stand up for my own rights. I get nervous. My heart starts to race. I get shaky. I start getting sweaty. And I'm 6'2", 250 plus pounds, 260 pounds. I mean, I'm a big guy and a loud guy. I shouldn't be nervous. I should stand up for my basic rights. Yet I am. And that's the point. We've been conditioned.
You got to do something every day that scares you, right? And that's basically that's reverse conditioning. if you do something every day that you've already done before, what you're doing is you're building those walls around you and your intellectual capacity even stronger day by day. You're adding more and more bricks onto that every day because you're operating under the same process. If you, on the other hand, are doing something every day that scares the living bejesus out of you, something that you've never done, something new, what you're doing is you're expanding that wall, you're expanding your horizons, expanding those lines that all come congruent in every single direction. That's what we've got to start doing, man. Stop closing off and start opening up. Freda, thanks for the call, bro. And our final segment coming up, ladies and gentlemen, call in 218-339-8525. Back in a minute. Welcome back. It's the final segment. Taking your calls. 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. You want to call up and have a wee bit of fun, or you want to freak out, or tell me you love me, or whatever. Go for your life. Self-promote. Don't care. 218. See, speaking of self-promotion, Freda X, welcome back again.
it's shameful, not shameless. It's shameful self-promotion.
See, I don't know how you could experience less shame, but
well, you know, shameless self-promotion is usually the way they say it.
Shameless, is that a guy from Ireland? Oh no, that's Shameless.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but I wanted to put it out there. Your listeners right now, right here and now, they're going to get a serious update on the Free Your Mind Conference here and now. First ever. This is big breaking news, guys. The rumor has it, and I can tell you it's a pretty good rumor because I'm one of the organizers of Free Your Mind Conference, that we're going to have Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips, the authors of Transformation America, at Free Your Mind Conference 2013. So that's pretty huge.
Yeah.
And anybody listening,
where can people get the tickets? How much are they? You know, just those straight details, bro. Lay them on.
FreeYourMindConference.com is all you got to do. Just go to FreeYourMindConference.com. All the details are there. Okay. Everything you need to know. And so anybody listening who's very interested, especially here in America, you know, because it's going to be in Philadelphia, 2013, that's April 25th, 26th, 27th. Mark Passio is involved. All the list of people that are involved, it's right there. We've got Laura Eisenhower coming and so many others. I'm not going to waste the time, but I really appreciate you letting me let everybody know that. This week in my show, The Middle Chamber, we've got Joseph Atwill, who you already spoke with. What an excellent show. Thanks for letting me come on there and, you know, hijack it for a little while, too. I appreciated that.
Joe Atwill, wait a second. Was he the one guy about science of life after death?
Oh my goodness.
I'm sorry.
Seriously, dude, really?
I don't do that. I have that kind of flippant nature about me. You know, people actually have to remind me sometimes who I've interviewed and what they were about,
Let me just stop. I'm sure your listeners know, but such an important guest you had just last week, I believe, a week and a half ago, Joseph Atwill, author of Caesar's Messiah.
Well, that was a couple of weeks ago, bro. No wonder I didn't remember exactly.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago. I know you're every day. The greatest thing about the Vinnie Eastwood show, ladies and gentlemen, is the fact that he has guests every day. This guy is a revolving door of interesting guests. Nobody has the guests in the volume that Vinnie Eastwood does.
Yeah, I've got a bigger revolving door than the FDA and Monsanto.
Well, you're like your own government czar, it's revolving seat. Everyone just, you know, you're like the turnstile in the town square, right?
Well, actually, I kind of I try to embody what politicians should be: slaves. Right. As far as I'm concerned, I'm a slave to my audience. If they tell me to do something, if they tell me to hop, skip, and jump, I do it, and as quickly as I can. You know, going, yes, master. And look at it like this. I feel that a government official is supposed to be there not out of a desire to gain power for himself, but in a desire to put himself in servitude for the benefit of others. And damned to be my own personal afflictions and things of that, I am now a servant of the state. And these people are my employers, and I must do the best I can without destroying stuff all over the place. And that's how I see myself and conduct myself on this radio show. I am the ward of the audience.
Wow, that's a wonderful rationale there, I'll tell you. But I'm going to call you on your BS, man. you always get behind this excuse of just letting the listeners dictate. But that's an easy way to let you off the hook from research, pal. You need to pick up some more books and open them up, my friend, because you have a powerful mind. And like all powerful weapons and muscles and tools, they have to be used. They have to be worked. And don't let yourself not consider the what you could be, you know, how you could be improved through some good old-fashioned reading, my friend.
Well, you know, do you know who Laurence Olivier is?
Of course, Sir Laurence Olivier. Of course,
he was illiterate.
Are you serious?
He had to get people to read his scripts out to him.
I want some source reference here, man. Yeah. I need some footnotes. Yeah, exactly. I'm not gonna just take that wholesale from you. I'm gonna take the Jan Irving stance, and I want to see some proof. so my point is, I want a brain web sent to my email about it.
That'll be a Googleable thing. I think my sister told me that one back in the day. What I've kind of found is over my time talking to people, researching and whatever. Like my research is not a reading thing. It's actually more of a talking and a watching and a listening thing. And it's not because I can't read. It's because a book takes a long time. Like in the time it would take me to read a book, I could interview 1,000 guests. About 1,000 books.
You are committed, my friend. You're truly an amazing broadcaster amongst broadcasters.
And it's funny you should mention this about spending a bit of time reading books and stuff, because I actually had this realization last week that I have this spare time now and I have to start filling it up. And so, sure enough, I'm instead of just doing 2 hours of radio a day, I'm trying to increase that to at least six. So I'll be on two other radio shows, plus doing pre-recordings and stuff, either after and or before my show. I've basically just tripled my workload because that realization hit me. I'm not doing the reading. I'm not doing any of this kind of stuff. Man, I need to up my game here. Caller on the line now, area code 415, what's your first name and state you are calling from, please? Caller, you're on the air. We can hear you. You might want to speak. Never mind.
They were scared of your authoritarian way of wanting their name and their location. You're like scared.
Just a first name and a state. Because when we get the call-ins, we've got this little board here, and it's
allows us. Oh, do you really? I didn't know that. I didn't know about that.
Oh, just for the audience.
No, I'm sorry. Let me just say one thing, Vinny, and I'm gonna let you take your show where it needs to go for the night. Just on the way out, I'm just messing with you about the reading thing, but you know me, I'm a bibliophile. But really, talking about famous people, Laurence Olivier and all, on the way out, anybody who wants to know, Clark Gable was a Mason, a Freemason. And one of the legends I've heard in the lodges about Clark Gable was he had a photographic memory. Normally, people take weeks to memorize the questions and answers to move up in the 3 degrees in the Blue Lodge system. Clark Gable was able to do it all in one day. From one degree after the other, he was able to memorize the parts he needed all in one day. He became a third-degree Mason. But he had a photographic memory. I just thought that was kind of an interesting aside. You mentioned Laurence Olivier. Now, it's amazing that he was really illiterate, the fact that he could just perform the way he did. I mean, the Shakespeare, and he people may not realize how much Laurence Olivier quoted so much amazing language. Mm. I mean, a wordsmith extraordinaire, and that's amazing if he was illiterate.
Jet Li, have you ever seen a Jet Li movie, the little Chinese kung fu guy? Apparently, he can't speak English, and what they do is they just give him, he has a speech coach and stuff like that, who just tells him line by line during the shoots and stuff like that, what he needs to say, and he practices and stuff like that, but he can't speak English.
So that's very interesting. That caller who called in is on your chat room. I just sent them the number. They're probably going to call back in a moment. But thank you, Vinny, for your time and the great show. I'm a big fan. You know, I listen to you regularly. Everybody knows you got the greatest daytime show going, my friend. So we'll talk to you again soon, and thanks for letting me talk.
Yeah, indeed. And next week, I think, you know what? The two words that rhyme with bucket, and you're just like, bucket, let's do it anyway. So next week, me and Freda will start doing our little Freda Rex / Vinny Eastwood podcast, because, frack, we have a good time. We're real funny bastards. But yeah, we'll start doing that next week and uploading it on YouTube for people and things like that. So more content. More content. I'm tripling it up, which reminds me, I want to have a public service announcement. We won't be able to take any more calls. We've got about a minute left in the show. I am running out of hard drive space so badly, in fact, that after I finish this show, I actually won't be able to do the archiving because I do not have enough space. Okay, I need some giant frickin' hard drives delivered to me this afternoon at the latest, kind of thing. If you can help me, please get in contact through the website. If you've got some old 2 terabyte it goes through like maybe 60, 70 gigabytes a day. Caller, you're on the air. Caller, are you there? You just called in. You've only got about 30 seconds left in the show.
Hey, Vinny, Materex says hello, too. She just wanted me to tell you that, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Well, we've had some weird stuff with the phones today. We had two callers call in subsequently, one after the other, and then when you unmute them, they're just not there. Okay. Well, anyway. Well,
I'm just here.
Oh, here we are.
I got one.
Yeah!
I want to say about reading. Although reading's good for the mind, that what it can do is it can just take away the immediacy of the concerns.
Yeah, I think that's actually an idea, because I find that the more you understand things, the less you kind of feel threatened by them, sort of thing, you know? Like, if you know everything about that there is to know about Freemasonry, suddenly you're not that freaked out by it anymore, and maybe you'll just sit back and go like, eh. I don't know if that's exclusively the case, but, you know, I think there's an element of truth to that, caller. Thank you very much for ringing in, and we will see you all again sometimes, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to subscribe to the Vinny Eastwood Show for $5, $10, or preferably $20 a month, we really, really need to get the revenue going because we're up in our game here, doubling, tripling my workload, as I said, and I'm going to need some comparable support in order to accomplish all that from you. I don't want to obligate you, but please help me. I'll see you again sometime.